Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we meditate this day on the words of Jesus himself, spoken to his disciples, later apostles. From now on, you will be fishers of men.
Trust Jesus about catching
from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Does not Peter sound a bit like Isaiah or even Elijah in the Old Testament reading for today? When Isaiah, for example, caught a glimpse of God on his throne, and King Uzziah died and saw the Lord in his glory with the six-winged seraph flying round singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And Isaiah says, I'm a dead man, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And nor yet I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I'm a sinner. That's how it is when you come face to face with the Lord. It's not shine, Jesus, shine. For we're so happy to be here, and you should be happy with us being here. It's Lord, have mercy. Oh God, for mercy, I'm a dead man. Lord Jesus, according to his human nature, may have looked plain and ordinary enough, like many other people in Galilee. But no one in Galilee has a beard on fish quite like the Lord. And when it dawns on Peter that there is more to Jesus than meets his eye, he immediately becomes aware of who he is, a sinful man. And his reflex, sometimes not always so faithful for Peter, is that he wants to run away. Or rather, he wants Jesus to go away from him. This one who has the Creator's authority over fish in the sea is simply too much for Peter to handle. For Peter understands this reality that his sin and God's presence are not compatible. Just as Isaiah understood that he had no right to stand before the Lord enthroned in glory. Now for us, it might seem a bit appealing, or maybe even inspiring, to have been an eyewitness to these miracles, these revelations of the mystery of Jesus Christ. We imagine that it would be easier for us to believe, much easier than reading it from a book or hearing it from this pulpit. But to think such ways would mark you as one who is wrong. The miracles proclaim the majesty of God, the divinity of Jesus. He does what only God in the flesh can do, in a way that only God in the flesh can accomplish. And that face-to-face encounter with God in the flesh is not a source of comfort to a sinner, unless you know for certain that he is for you and not against you, that he comes to forgive you of your sins and not to condemn you for them, that he comes to you in mercy and not in wrath. This catch of fish, sometimes referred to as the miraculous catch of fish, was truly astonishing. As was changing water into wine and healing sickness with a word and casting out demons with a touch, it's all astonishing and somewhat frightening. This is how near God is to you in Jesus. He knows the location of the fish in your life, not to mention the birds and the ants and the spiders. He knows the number of hairs on your head and the number of your days. He knows your sins better than you do. And he knows everything you think and say. You do well to say with Peter, "Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Don't come near me, Lord. You are holy. I am anything but holy. You are God's sinless son, and I'm a poor, miserable sinner. You are the Lord of creation, and I am your disobedient creature. But the beautiful thing is this, that the same God of power is the God of mercy and forgiveness. For he takes a burning makes these fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, John, sinners, all of them, none of them worthy on their own to be his disciples, let alone his apostles and first pastors of the church. And Jesus says to them, follow me. These are disciple-making words from Jesus that take a sinner and call him to repentance, to a new heart, a new mind, a new life. Follow me. And where is Jesus going? He is going to his own death and resurrection. And that's where his disciples follow him, through death and resurrection and life to eternal life. His death becomes their path, his life their life, his forgiveness covering their sins. And from this altar, he takes the burning piece of the sacrifice and puts it on your lips and says, take it. This is my body, given into death to cover your sin. And now these disciples, these would-be apostles, have a new life by the word of Jesus. They've become a new creation. Fear not, he says unto them, from now on you will be catchers of men. They used to catch fish in their nets. Now they will catch men and women in the nets of Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus gives here an image for the business of disciple-making. Fishing. Net fishing. It's scooping up. So, dear friends, never lose sight of that. You cast the net of God's word, both of judgment and of grace, and you pull it into the boat, which is the church, and you row it to shore, and Jesus separates there. Because only Jesus can look into the heart to see faith, and faith and the word to receive. There are other kinds of fishing out there today. There is bait fishing, there is lure fishing, there is fly fishing, and all of those things operate, I would submit to you, on the basis of deception. If you want to trick the fish into biting into something, a piece of bait, a shiny lure, a piece of feather or fur, skipping on the surface like a fly, and after they've bitten on the little trick, you snag them on a hidden hook, and you peel them in one at a time. Peter and others were casting hook and reel, but not really. They were doing nets into the sea, hauling up whatever was caught. On their own that night, they came up with nothing. In the day of the word of Jesus, their nets were bursting full. Such fishing is an act of pure faith. You simply cast out the net of God's word. You pray and you trust that there are fish in that ocean to catch. You can't see them, and you really have no control over what you scoop up. That's the image your Lord sets before his church and before this congregation. It is his example of mission in the world. When the church becomes a huge boat, casting out a huge net, taking Jesus at his word, making disciples of the nations as Jesus has given, by baptizing and by teaching and purifying them through the forgiveness of sins which he earned on the cross of Calvary, and giving them that very body and blood for their sustenance and their life. The church is not to lure people into the kingdom, but sweep them in by his word, capturing them in the gracious net of forgiveness, life, and salvation. So go fishing, the Lord says to you, his church. Cast the net of Jesus' death and resurrection wide and deep into the waters of the world, not only in this place, but wherever the Lord opens that opportunity. And whatever you call it, the boat hold, whether it be many or a few, that's the Lord's business. And the Lord always knows best. The catch is his, for it is at his word and through his word, not yours. To die in Jesus, that is to be caught in the net, is to live forever in him. For in baptism you were buried with Christ in his death, caught in the net, dragged out of the depths of sin and death into his boat, the church. It is so, it is real, it is the Lord's way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.